Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M. and I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Wyoming. Today is Thursday, October 13th, 2022, and today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 34, the third paragraph. And today's readers are Adrian M., Kara L., and Lorraine N. The reference number for Wednesday, October 12th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,509. And the reference number for Thursday, October 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,511. A way preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Patty F. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, this is Patty F. I'm a compulsive overeater. One, we admitted we were powerless over compulsive overeating and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patty F. And now I will ask Deb E. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. It's Deb E. in Montana, and these are the 12 traditions, or why it works in our Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I will pass.
Thanks, Deb. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, More About Alcoholism, page 34, paragraph 3, and I will now ask Adrian M. to begin reading for us. Thanks, Adrian.
Good morning, everyone. This is Adrian, compulsive overeater out of Florida. How then shall we help our readers determine to their own satisfaction whether they are one of us? The experiment of quitting for a period of time will be helpful, but we think we can render an even greater service to alcoholic sufferers and perhaps to the medical fraternity. So we shall describe some of the mental states that precede a relapse into drinking, for obviously this is the crux of the problem. Well, this explained a lot to me and throughout the Big Book. On page 23, it says the main problem of the alcoholic centers on his mind. And on page 33, it talks about the mental twist. Well, that's what I have. I have a problem with my thinking. So I'm not responsible for the first thought. I am responsible for the second thought and the first action, which takes me through to the step one. So I get to look at every day what person, place, situation, what emotion is coming up that is making my life unmanageable, that I want to turn to the food to quell the feelings, to still the turbulent waters. This chapter explains why I would get abstinent and then relapse again. That's where I'm also learning HP comes in. True surrender is what I heard about yesterday. To a power greater than myself, for the abstinence and recovery that I'm experiencing today. That is the message that I get out and explain to others when I say I'm a compulsive overeater. It is the mental twist. That is the most important point of explaining the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And that's all I have today. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for your service.
Oh, thanks so much, Adrian, for getting us going today. And before I take a lineup of names, I just want to remind everyone that we do value everyone's experience, strength, and hope, that we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day so that other voices may be heard. So if you have shared on any A Vision for You calls, on Wednesday or Tuesday. Please hold back today. All right, I'm ready to take names.
Lorraine N.
Lorraine N.
Elaine G. from New York.
Penny C.
Wendy B.
Penny C. Wendy B.
Robin Nancy. P. in Portugal.
Robin P.
Nancy from Arkansas.
Nancy. Okay, let me let you know who I have. I think I might have missed one or two, maybe not. But I have Lorraine M, Elaine G, Penny C, Wendy B, Robin P, and Nancy. Did I miss anybody? All right, great. Let's start with this lineup. Go ahead, Lorraine.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for your service. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is the sentence that keeps me in this work every day, that the crux of the problem is in my mind, and the strange mental state that precedes the first bite. If I don't come here every day and read this literature and work with others in this program, I forget this very quickly. You know, the food for me has been down for over a year now, and now everything else has risen to the surface because I'm not stuffing my feelings, emotions, and thoughts down with food. And the longer I'm abstinent, the more I realize how just mentally ill and unstable I've been most of my life. I don't know how I got this far with the state of mind I lived in for most of my life until I came to Visions 3 years ago when I started to study this book as a textbook and begin to understand it with other sponsors who took me through the steps a couple of times through this book. So my main problem centers in my mind, and without a spiritual solution, I am screwed. So I come here every day to be reminded that I have this thing, I don't want it, I didn't ask for it, but I have this addiction, and this is where I come for treatment. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much. Next up is Elaine G., followed by Penny C. Go ahead, Elaine. Star one.
This is Elaine from New York. I'm busy here today. About that paragraph, boy, I can relate to that paragraph a lot. I mean, I find that when I'm not, especially in the middle of the night, when I'm not praying to God, that I don't go in this kitchen, and when I have let my guard down, when I rest on my laurels, my disease really starts up, and it's hard for me to get back. It's hard for me to get back unless I pray, make a lot of meetings, and my disease that's doing push-ups full-time, that's going a little nuts in my head, you know? And I feel like when I'm at this point, I can't even go in the store or anything. And thank God I don't have to today, but I have a lot of things going on, you know, at once this morning, you know? And I said to myself, I had to make this meeting. Have to make it, you know, get me God-centered. Anyway, this mental twist is unbelievable, this mental twist. That your mind, all of a sudden, from not really working the program much, not praying much, I feel it's like an insane state of mind, you know? And, you know, I have to get back. I keep on telling my sponsor, just, I got to get back. And praying all day long, especially at night. Anyway, that's it for me.
Thanks, Elaine G. Penny C is up next, followed by Wendy B.
Okay, this is Penny C.
I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in south of Boston, the Boston area, and I'm so grateful to everybody who helps to put this meeting on every day. I want to just talk about that last sentence that was read that says, we shall describe some of the mental states that precede a relapse into drinking, for obviously this is the crux of the problem. And so what I have heard in the past, that before there's a relapse, there's a prelapse. And the prelapse is this mental state. And so this book and this chapter are trying to help us be aware of that mental state before we get back into the food. I've heard, and I say so often, that this big book is full of wisdom, directions, promises, and warnings. And that's exactly what this chapter is going to do for us. Give us the warnings. I've already been warned by the man of 30 before we ever get to this page. The man of 30 who decided that he would stop drinking so that his career would and his business would profit. And then when he retired, he started drinking and he was dead within a few years. So that's a good reminder to me that no matter how many days, months, years of abstinence I've had, that if I don't continue to heed these warnings in this chapter especially, that, I could be right back out there in relapse and there wouldn't be enough food in my house or in the supermarket down the street to satisfy me if I were to do that. So I appreciate so much this chapter in particular, and these warnings that I take very, very seriously. And I'll pass with that and thank my higher power for bringing me here today. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Penny C. Next up is Wendy B., followed by Robin P. Go ahead, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And I'm relating to the first sentence. I needed to determine to my own satisfaction that I'm a compulsive overeater. You know, I needed to be convinced without a doubt, or I wouldn't be willing to, do the work necessary to recover. I wouldn't be willing to let go of my addictive substances. And, I had to get to the turning point, where what my substances were doing to me outweighed what they were doing for me. And, I had to get to the point of my substances no longer working, to ease my discomfort and, to the point where I couldn't live with them and I couldn't live without them. And that's the place of desperation where I knew I was licked. My substances were controlling me instead of me controlling them. And at that point, I became willing to ask God for help, to surrender my plan for my life, and embrace God's plan for my life. And, I was convinced I had this disease. I could identify in all the previous chapters, instead of identifying out. And I could see myself, in all the stories. No one could have convinced me, before I was ready, just like I can't convince anyone else. Each person has to know without a doubt in themselves, and we can't label others or they'll just, resist and fight the labeling. We have to allow God to orchestrate the circumstances, so they're convinced themselves, and we can't interfere and try to save them, from the consequences. God's using to teach them about themselves, and it's God's job to reveal the truth to each of us. And thank you for letting me share.
Yes, thank you so much, Wendy B. Next up is Robin P., followed by Nancy. Go ahead, Robin.
Hi, thanks so much for the meeting and everyone who does service on this meeting. Thank you all. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, currently in the Azores Islands in Portugal. And my husband and I are traveling around Europe for 3 months and 22 towns and cities. I'm just so grateful for abstinence and recovery and for these meetings and being able to stay connected to you all. And I'm looking over a beautiful lake with the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen in my life. And I've traveled a lot, and I'm just in awe of God's magic here in the Azores. And I'm so grateful for recovery. And, you know, that strange mental twist when I was in the disease, you know, I've been abstinent for, by God's grace, one day at a time for 6 years. And before that, when that voice would say, oh, you have to go eat, or a feeling would come up, you know, that strange mental twist, that mental obsession combined with the physical allergy, and that mental obsession that would just be like, pour me a drink, you know, and or pour me a milkshake, you know, and I would all of a sudden think, I'm hungry. Oh, and I have to go eat. Oh, I have to. And I just didn't have any way to process things. I didn't have a spiritual solution. My God was food. And I'm so grateful that I, you know, through this, the grace of this program, working with steps and working with others and others working with me, that, you know, I know that I get to live in 10, 11, and 12. And, you know, when I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, or fearful, I have a solution today. So when that mental obsession comes, I can go to God and my fellows and get relief that I used to think I was getting through the food. But I don't get a hangover. I don't feel horribly sick from working the steps. The solution before was a double-edged sword. It was so, I had two problems instead of one. And now I just get to grow through it spiritually. And, you know, we're on this amazing odyssey. And I am just eternally grateful. And I just keep saying, is this real? Do I really get to do this? And it's one of my dreams of my life. And it's all through the grace of abstinence and recovery. And thank you. God bless you all. I send you big hugs. And thank you to my God squad. I pass.
Thanks so much, Robin P. Nancy's up next, and then I'm going to take another lineup. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi, this is Nancy, compulsive overeater from Arkansas. Excuse me. The minute I start talking, my throat starts messing up. This paragraph really spoke to me. I had some bad news last night about a dog that I gave my granddaughter as a puppy. He got run over by the school bus. And my itty-bitty city committee is telling me, you shouldn't have given her the puppy. You should have taken the puppy away from her. You should have did this, and you should have did that, and you should have did this. And I'm not listening to that committee. But then the hamster comes in, and the hamster run around the reel in my brain over and over and over again, and I'm ready to shoot that hamster. And I look at this reading, and it says, shall we describe some of the mental states that precede a relapse into drinking? For obviously, this is the crux of the problem. It is. It really is. I have stayed abstinent. I did not overindulge in anything. I didn't eat any sweets. I followed my abstinence plan, and I am very grateful for that. I am a returning member, and it's been 4 months, and I've had a very, very difficult time staying abstinent, but I've got 3 days now, working on a fourth day, and I'm very grateful, and I'm not listening to that committee. And that hamster is dead. And that's all I got to say.
Okay, thanks so much, Nancy, for sharing today. And before I take another lineup, this is a good time to let people know where we're at in case you joined us after the meeting started. We are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, More About Alcoholism chapter, page 34. And we're reading the third paragraph only today. How then shall we help our readers? Who would like to share? If you haven't shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please give me your name one at a time.
Laura W.
Laura W.
Kara L.
Kara L. I think that was Elaine B.
Ann B.
Ann, thank you.
Matt H.
Matt H. All right, I have so far Laura W., Kara L., Ann B., and Matt H. Anyone else want to be added to this lineup? All right, go ahead, Laura W.
Hello. Hello. Thank you. Good morning. It's Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, it says, how can we help our readers determine whether they're one of us? And that's the whole point of this book, isn't it? To help others and to help us identify in rather than identify out and say, no, that's not me. I don't do that. Or I'm not that bad yet. You know, the experiment of quitting for a period of time, gosh, how many times have I experimented? You know, I'm grateful not to have to experiment anymore because this works. The 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous works for food addiction. It just does. And there, you know, if you work the steps, it works. And, you know, the thing that really jumped out to me, it says, so we shall describe some of the mental states that precedes a relapse into drinking. It doesn't say, so we shall describe some of the actions that precede a relapse into drinking. Because truthfully, for me, all action is born in thought. It's the thought that comes first before the action. And through the steps and traditions and my sponsor and my God squads, I'm able to identify the thoughts when they pop up. Because even after 18 years of abstinence and recovery, I still have thoughts. I still have alcoholic thoughts, anorexic thoughts, food thoughts. They're fewer and farther between than they used to be, but gosh, I have them. But I'm able to pause, and I call it a sacred pause. And when I pause and I ask my higher power, God, okay, God, what's going on? Why am I feeling this way? Why is my head going to the resentment and the anger and the fear? And truthfully, you know, God tells me, do a 10 step, figure it out. And I do. And I'm able to see my part in it. And no matter how, you know, the spiritual axiom is that no matter what anybody else did, if I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. So, boy, I'm so grateful that the biggest crux of the problem is my mind. It's not what I put in my mouth or don't put in my mouth. It's the mind. And when the mental straightens out, then the physical straightens out. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Hey, thanks so much, Laura W. Kara L. is up next.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you to everybody giving service today and bringing the meeting to us. And welcome to all of our new fellows today. Can't wait for you to join us on the road to recovery. Oh, shall we describe some of the mental states preceding a relapse into drinking? Obviously, this is the crux of the problem. I knew for years how to lose weight. I knew for years how to eat. I know the difference between broccoli and cake. I know all sorts of things I think I know. And yet I could not stop once I started. And I could not stop on my own from starting. I could lose the weight. I could put the weight back on. Those are all the things I could do by myself. I had to find a power greater than myself that could help me be the defense when my mental abilities were taking over and telling me something was a good idea. I knew when I had, you know, I knew the things that would set me off. I knew the things that once I put them in my mouth, there was no stopping. I couldn't stop on my own. But I couldn't stop the thought, that sudden impulse, and we'll hear more about that, that came into my mind and would say, it's all right. Just this once. This is a good idea. I couldn't stop that on my own. And so I had to work these steps and continue to work these steps and keep my head in the program and out of self-knowledge. And I had to say to a power greater than myself, I need defense. I need help. So when those sudden impulses, those good ideas, that knowledge that I'm sure of comes into my head, I can ask for help and say, please help me. And I can take the pause and the breath, and I can wait for guidance so that that sudden impulse, that good idea, might go away. The only defense I have against this illness, these mental urges, these mental states, is my higher power. So I work every day to keep that good, conscious contact with my higher power, to keep that relationship, to keep asking my higher power, what do you think? How do I move through this day? Please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And today, the gift for doing that work, I get a strong relationship with a power greater than myself. I get food neutrality, and I get to take each day in its moment. And for that, I'm grateful, and I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Perfect timing. Thanks, Kara. Next up is Anne, followed by Matt.
Hello. This is Anne B., Westchester United Intergroup in New York. I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been abstinent 17 years, but I don't like the word recovered. And I'm thinking about what led me to the conclusion that I was addicted to food. And this was I was firmly convinced of that before I joined the program, which is an advantage that I had that I'm grateful for. And the first thing that I really noticed about my eating was that if I had something sweet in the morning, that I was more likely to want something sweet in the afternoon and not less likely. So it wasn't satisfying, it was triggering. And moreover, that I would forget every single time that I had had something sweet in the morning until like later in the day and then realize that I was having it again and again. So that was one thing that I noticed. And the other thing that I noticed was that I had a mild heart palpitation condition, and my doctor was trying to keep me off of beta blockers. And he told me there were 5 foods that I shouldn't eat because they would aggravate the heart palpitation condition. And those were alcohol, caffeine, ginseng, ginkgo biloba, and chocolate. And the first 4 things on that list, I had absolutely no trouble quitting. I mean, the special herbs I'd never even taken in the first place. But the chocolate was really a problem. And I actually did stop it for 2 years. And I was, during that 2 years, I thought about it every single day. And I tried substituting other foods, and I started eating more and more and more sweet stuff. But it never solved the problem. And I had never taken hard drugs like heroin or cocaine, but I had read articles about people who had taken those drugs, and they said that when they stopped, they thought about them all the time. And I realized, oh, I'm thinking about chocolate all the time. I must be addicted to it. And after 2 years, I said, this is not worth it. I am going to eat it. And that palpitations weren't that bad, and I went back. And the thing that I didn't know about addiction, which is in chapter 3 a little earlier, is this business of progressive. It gets worse. It's fatal. Progressive, fatal, hopeless part. That I didn't understand. It wasn't until a number of years later, maybe 8 years later, that I actually was 190 pounds, and I realized, well, you know, this is out of control. And, you know, at the time when I recognized I was addicted to chocolate, literally addicted to it, in my religious group, there was a woman who was in OA, and she said, oh, you may want to check out OA, because it's a wonderful group. And she had been in OA all her life, and she loved it, and she said it was so supportive, and it was
just fine.
All right. But I just to finish, but it took me 8 years at least to get into the rooms after I knew I was an addict. So I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Anne. Next up is Matt H., and then it looks like we'll have time for more names. Go ahead, Matt H.
Hi, this is Matt H., a compulsive overeater in New York. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for your service. How do we determine to our own satisfaction whether we're one of the people they're discussing in this book? For myself, I really had to rule out everything else. You know, all of the dieting, the nutritionists, the following different diet gurus and intuitive eating and all the other nonsense, trying to come up with a solution that had nothing to do with me. It was like, it's got to be the food, it can't be me. And I had to rule all those things out and finally just admit that I really had a problem with food, like an alcoholic has a problem with alcohol, and that there are certain foods that I cannot tolerate. Once I start, I can't stop. So we shall describe some of the mental states that precede a relapse into drinking, for obviously this is the crux of the problem. So once I start, I can't stop. But once I stay stopped, I can't. Once I'm stopped, I can't stay stopped. So that's what we're just talking about here, the mental side of it and the inability to stay stopped. For me, obviously awareness is not the solution here. But for me, the awareness of stories like the jaywalker, who just keeps doing the same thing over and over again, even though he's destroying himself. But in the moment, you really don't know it. You're really not conscious of it. So for me, being abstinent, I have to be incredibly aware of what's going on around me, so that I'm not triggered by something where my mind will automatically just go eat something. It'll make you feel better. So when those emotions come up, or even if I'm just driving down the road and I see a certain place because I'm so used to my old self going there to get something, I have to be aware of where I am and that I can't do that anymore. And obviously the power comes from my higher power, but the awareness for me of the rising in emotions, then pausing and then going to higher power to get that power from somewhere else to stop me from using the food to try to stop the emotions. I have to really be aware of all those things. And for me, it could be anything. It could be I don't feel well. It could be I'm happy. It could be I'm angry. I have to really be aware. I'll pass on that, but thank you, everybody, and have a great day. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Matt. And now we have time for a couple more names. So it looks like two or three more names. Who would like to share?
Hiya, P.
Hiya, P. Good morning.
Teresa from California.
Teresa, California. And then one last name?
Kim T, Colorado.
Oh, yeah. Hi there, Kim. Good
Hello.
Morning. Okay, let's try these three, and then if we have time, we'll take more names. Go ahead, hiya, P.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great. Sometimes it unmutes, it does its thing. Hi, everybody. My name is Chaya P. My name is spelled Chaya on the phone list, but it's pronounced like you're saying hello, and I live in Colorado. I'm very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, bulimic and restrictor. Welcome to anyone who's new. So glad you're here. Just keep coming. There really are miracles happening here. I'm just thinking, about, this idea of like coming to terms with it. I mean, one thing I say pretty much in every meeting is like, if you want in the club, you're in. This is a self-admission club. There's no cliques. It's just self-admission. And so it says we have to concede to our innermost selves. It took time. It took iterations. It took a good sponsor to really help walk me through the doctor's opinion and what and how, how to eliminate alcoholic foods, what triggers me, those kinds of things. But most importantly, once I determined that, once it thoroughly did me in, I needed something to replace it. And that's why I'm so grateful that we have this program. Because if it was just about giving up food, first of all, I could have done that without OA. And I wouldn't need a spiritual remedy, but it's a spiritual malady. And I'm really grateful that it's a spiritual malady for a number of reasons. I mean, I know a lot of people that have all sorts of illnesses and their remedies are full of amazing fellowship and support in the way that we that we have here, in the sense that there's a joy of living and being able to serve God, come to believe in God. I came to believe in God. I didn't believe in God when I got here. You don't have to believe in God when you get here. You don't ever really have to believe in God, although there was a woman many, many years ago who said from the podium, if you have a problem with God, you have a problem, because that's the solution. And, of course, it means our conception of God, which doesn't mean God changes according to my conception. It means I can live with the conception that I have, whatever that is at the time. And I'm very, very grateful that my conception of God has just expanded and expanded and expanded over the years, because had it stayed with what it started with, I don't know that I'd still be here. Anyway, I want to leave for other people to share. Thanks for letting me share. I'm so glad to be here. And again, if you're new, please keep coming back. It really does work.
Thanks so much. Perfect timing, Haya. Next up is Teresa, followed by Kim. Go ahead, Teresa.
Hi, Teresa, recovering food addict from California, compulsive overeater. So what stood out to me in this sentence, what I have highlighted, is some of the mental states that precede a relapse. Some and states, like multiple states of mind. And boy, that is the truth. Like, my mind is all over the place and it's moving so fast, it kind of duplicates, you know, it's like if I'm drunk and I'm seeing doubles, like there's more than one state of mind and how it affects my mental health. And clinically, like when you have some states of mind, that's multiple personality disorder. And this really just makes sense to me. Like, I really do, like, God restores me to sanity when I show up to this meeting and when I work my steps. And then I also have highlighted here, this is the crux of the problem. And so I just wanted to define crux. So I went on to the internet, and it says a puzzling or apparently unsolvable problem. And it's just like, yeah, when I'm in the grips of compulsive overeating and food addiction, I just feel like it's unsolvable. Like, there's no way out. And I know, because this is not my first rodeo in OA, that this is the solution. There is a problem, and I have a place to go. I have a home. I have steps that are my medication, and I'm just so grateful to be here today. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much. And next up is Kim T. Go ahead, Kim. Star one to unmute, Kim. We're not hearing you.
Okay, let's see. Can you hear me
there
now?
There you go. Oh, yeah.
That question. Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for taking the meeting, Sherry, and everyone here who's giving service. I came back to OA 3 years ago after being gone for around 10 or so, and because of my mental state. My mental state was not stable at all. My choices were at that time were either to kill myself or to come back to Overeaters Anonymous. And neither of those were good choices in my mind. They were both dark. They were both repulsive. And I obviously chose to come back to OA, and I hated it. And but I knew that just a physical recovery, if I went to another Pay and Way or whatever, or selected another personal trainer, that would not make this thing go away, because I've been battling it my entire life. So I came back to OA, and thank you, God, somebody within me being back 2 weeks gave me a card with the numbers for this meeting, the phone numbers, and I've been here ever since, not doing it perfectly by any stretch. But what has changed, a lot has changed for me this time, but I'm really understanding the physical allergy this time, or really, I have to, because it's life or death for me. The mental, I I didn't have a problem with being mentally, you know, having a mental illness too, but I'm just becoming so much more aware how deeply it's entrenched in my brain. And, but the good side of it, I'm in a meeting and in a program. I have steps. I have God. I have fellows. I have literature that will help me to get out of that. So I don't have to live in that morass of self-pity, and that's numero uno character defect for me. So I'm very grateful I'm here, and I just wanted to claim my seat today. Thank you, Sherry.
Hey, thanks so much, Kim. Nice to hear from you. Is there anyone who wants to close us out? We have time for one more share.
Sheila, can I share?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Sheila in Wisconsin. And, you know, I love all the shares today. And I just got to thinking that, you know, for 14 years, I had been in OA, and I never could say that I was recovered because I always thought it was about the food. I always thought it was about weighing and measuring. And when I fell off weighing and measuring, I lost it all. And here I was, I believed in God. I mean, I even went to church on Sundays. But the interesting thing was, is I didn't ever trust God for anything. So while I'm weighing and measuring my food all these years and going to a different program, it was a different OA program, and worked on the tools all the time, I still didn't trust God. I carried around all this burden. I never let God do my heavy lifting. I carried around every single, I was codependent with my coworkers, with my boys, with everything. And this summer, I worked quickly through the steps with a sponsor who showed me how to really trust God. And she was a woman of not a lot of words, but everything clicked this summer. And I realized that all those burdens that I have, I'm powerless over all of them. And I was able just to lay everything down and pray about it, you know, and ask God to help these people, but know that I'm not in charge of the world anymore. And I guess this was just my time to come in and to realize that trying to juggle all these balls and then trying to measure my food and try to get on all these calls and doing outreach calls and checking off these lists just weren't cutting it. It had to be like an entire spiritual change. And that's what happened. And it was a miracle. But I'm just really excited about the change and the psyche change. And I just appreciate all you being here. This is Sheila in Wisconsin, and I'll pass.
Hi. Thanks so much, Sheila. That'll be the last share. And absolutely, what a miracle this program is. Thanks, everyone, for a great meeting. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kara L. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.